Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories. All building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Trolley Problem Inc. podcast, the podcast which takes a look at the trolley problem type problems and all that sail in them. My name's Simon Byron. I'm joined by the developer of Trolley Problem Inc., Samuel Reed Graves. Hello, Sam.
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You can tell that we're recording these in quite short succession because I've got nothing to say in the intros at the moment.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, we're making a game.
We are trying to make a game. It's getting to the business end of that, isn't it? How are you feeling at the moment?
I'm really happy with how it's coming along. We're getting people to stream it soon. I don't know when these are going to go out. So it's sort of the exciting but scary part. So, I can't wait for everyone to play it.
Good, me neither. Well, and the whole point of the podcast is to invite friends, family, guests to the inner circle where we can discuss the game and pose them some questions. And I'm delighted today to be joined by Bryony and Kirsty. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on. We were just during the pre-show preamble. We were just asking you how much you knew about the game, and it turns out not very much at the moment. You haven't played huge amounts of it, so I'm really keen to see how you get on with it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Welcome to the show. Could you introduce yourselves, tell everybody a little bit more about you?
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. Hello, I'm Kirsty. I am a streamer on Twitch. And that's pretty much it. That's all I do.
I am Bryony. I'm also a streamer on Twitch, and I'm also one of the most indecisive people ever, so I don't know how I'm going to fare with any of this.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
I listened to one of your podcasts the other day about dreams. Can you tell us a bit about your podcast?
So we have a podcast together called Comfort Zone, where basically we record our dreams as soon as we've woken up, and then we listen back to them, and we each try to find out what's wrong with each other.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they tend to involve wrestling. Kirsty has to go back to school a lot mm-hmm. of stress dreams.
A lot of stress.
Yeah. Mine tends to be quite adventurous. We're fine. It's fine.
We're fine.
Certainly sounds that way. Have you looked at any sort of dream books where they tell you what those are supposed to signify? Then what is going back to school?
Yeah, so I have a couple of those. I don't know if I've actually looked at school, but I think school is pretty much accepted as a stress thing. Like,
okay,
because there's that pressure to like get your work in and, you know, you're being told what to do and stuff like that. So I know personally, it's definitely a stress thing. because it's always, oh, I've got homework due. Oh, I've got this that's meant to be due in. And I've not been at school for 10 years. It's like, I definitely don't have art homework to do. But more often than not, I'll be waking up thinking, oh no, I have an English essay due in. Oh, what am I going to do? So yeah. But I think it's very much like a personal thing. Like those books, like they're fun to look at, but they don't really tell you. I think you're the only person that can tell you what they mean.
Well, it's either us or Freud seems to like to chip in.
Oh yeah, Freud pops up quite a lot.
Did you enjoy school?
Ooh, I did, but I was one of those kids that, you know, if I forgot my homework, I'd break down and cry. So it was pretty stressful. That's probably why I'm having dreams about it now. Like, I was a teacher's pet, so yeah, I think it was inherently quite stressful.
And what were yours about, Bryony? Wrestling, was it?
Wrestling.
I have a lot of wrestling dreams.
Okay, and so let's go a bit deeper. So, are you the wrestler? Are you watching wrestling?
I meet a lot of wrestlers. Like the other day, John Cena gave me a lift to work, and I've met Luchasaurus. I met Thunder Rosa. I just meet them all.
Didn't Triple H go to one of your school assemblies in one of your
shoes? Triple H was teaching us how to avoid burglaries.
Oh, there's the double whammy. There's wrestling and school.
And school, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. So when you're not having stress dreams or talking about them on the podcast, what sort of games do you both like playing?
I mean, I tend to try to go for quite wholesome games, but they often don't turn out very wholesome. It's an ongoing thing that on Sunday mornings I'll do a wholesome game stream, and usually within the first 10 minutes someone's died or it turns out to be about something completely different. But I'll try and be like, yay, it's fine.
Yes, I don't think Trolley Problem Inc.'s going to be on the wholesome game stream.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I tend to play a lot of...
You're more adventurous, aren't you?
Yeah, I like playing like role-playing games and like story-based games. So a lot of the time, recently especially, there have been games where you have to make a lot of choices. Like you'll have a good path and a bad path. And I'm a chicken and I always go for the good path. So this is going to be interesting.
I've never even done like a JoJo playthrough of Stardew. Even that I feel bad about doing.
Yeah, me too.
What would you say the hardest decision that you've had to make within a game has been?
Oh, geez. I'm trying to think. So
I mean, Mass Effect has some.
Yeah, I was going to say, I finished the first Mass Effect recently and there's a big decision at the end, but I made it very quickly for all the wrong reasons. And now I've moved into Mass Effect 2, I'm seeing the effects of that decision and I'm like, oh, that probably wasn't a very good idea. Okay. So yeah, it was a difficult decision in that I thought, right, this is the right thing to do, even though it's kind of a bad thing. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, now we're in Mass Effect 2 and things aren't great. Everyone is a horrible person. A lot of people are dead. Firstly,
have you started dreaming about Mass Effect yet?
I don't think I have yet.
No, you haven't. Have, oh, have it was, I? It was Elden Ring crossed with Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
What did that school assembly look like?
Oh, God. A mess. I tend to have environments, like game environments, turn up in my dreams. If I'm dreaming, like when it was an Elden Ring game, it was like all very yellow and misty, like deep oranges and yellows, like big fields and trees. And I was like, this is Elden Ring. And then with Mass Effect, obviously, it's a lot more sort of dark and atmospheric. And yeah, that tends to be what translates to my dreams the most, I think, out of games.
Yeah.
Did either of you play Heavy Rain?
I haven't played it, but I've seen it played.
Is that the one with the guy shouting the name all the
Jason!
Time?
Jason!
Yeah. Push A to Jason. What I loved about that game, hands up, I enjoyed it and I finished it. And that's a game about choices where, you know, many of the decisions that you take early on will impact the end of the game, et cetera. But it has, I believe that all characters can can live or die by the end of it, and etc. And so what you do throughout will take you down a spectrum of endings, which are, you know, really good or really bad. I finished it, got the good ending, thanks very much. even though somebody in it had done a lot of bad things. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Lent it to a friend who had no idea what sort of game it was. He just thought it was an adventure. He made all the wrong decisions and came and finished it and said, Simon, why the fuck did you make me play that? Everybody dies in it. He had no idea. Oh. He had no idea. Well, and yeah. it turns out Heavy Rain could have been the appetizer for Trolley Problem Inc. I think. Ooh. Because the choices that you have to make it in Heavy Rain are nothing compared to what Sam has got lined up for you. Sam, geez. Do you just want to introduce the game to Bryony and Kirsty, just so they get a sense of what it is and where it's drawing its inspiration from?
Yeah, so the Trolley Problem Inc. draws inspiration from a load of different philosophical and ethical dilemmas. A lot of them are based in actual research papers. Some are based in like global world events. But one of the things that I think's most interesting about it is most of the research is done in the 70s. One of the problems actually we'll look at today is in the early 2000s. But everything somehow seems to come around full circle. And it seems like I wrote it today on like current world events. But I won't spoil any of the questions. But yes, it's a game based around philosophical. I'll either run with it or I'll give Sam some time to edit it out. But yeah, it's a game based around philosophical and ethical questions where really you always get an A and B and you have to make an awful decision.
Okay.
It's a decision that you have to live with. So before we get into your specific questions, we will give you a leveler. We'll have a sense check with you. So we'll start with the classic trolley problem.
Okay, so there is a runaway trolley barreling down the railway tracks. On the tracks are five people unable to move. You're next to a lever. If you pull this lever, the trolley will switch to a different set of tracks. However, you notice there is a person on the other tracks. What do you do?
Okay, so it's the thing between one person dying or five people dying sort of mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah, so it's currently going for five. You can pull a lever to save them, but in doing that, you'll actively kill someone else.
That's true.
I feel
part
really
of my brain is like, I cast lightning bolt on the trolley. I'm like, no, no, not that sort of show.
The first thing that came to mind for me was that in not touching the lever, you aren't actively causing it. So you could just leave it and let the five people die, but that's pretty mean.
You can't pull a lever if your hands are up, aren't they?
Saying, exactly, I'd be to panicking. Do with me. Oh, no.
I'd pull it.
Okay, so this is actually, so you're our first pair on the show. Simon, how are we going to move forward with this split decision?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, ultimately, we're going to put them on some railway tracks, and then that's how we will illustrate. Well, ultimately we can only pick one, can't we? And so, Kirsty, you are right that you know if you chose to let fate take its path, then you're not, you know, if you weren't there, you couldn't have done anything. It's not your fault you're there, is it?
Exactly.
Didn't ask to be put here next to this lever.
I didn't ask to be put in the situation.
You should sew that onto a cushion. It's not my fault I'm here.
Exactly.
Wait, I have a follow-up question. Would all five of them definitely die, or could it just like barrel into one of the people and then that would just push the rest of them along? And
no, they can't move. All five of them are off to a better place.
Aww.
Well, that's fine. There? They're going to a better place. You don't have to feel bad.
Oh, that's true. Okay, I'll go with Kirsty's answer.
Okay, so you let the train go and then those five people go to live on a farm somewhere else. Yep. Okay.
Can we find out anything about the person who we've let live now? Because are you now going to turn around and be like, they were a horrible person who...
They're the one who put the five people on the tracks.
Yeah. And then they went for a lie down.
That would be a plot twist.
It's almost like you're reading that off my screen.
See, I knew all along.
Well, if that's the case, then trolley crashing's too good for him. I say we do something slower.
Reverse? Has it got a reverse? Congratulations. So far, you are the first guests to choose the one over the five.
So I'm taking notes here. You have let the five die, or you've killed the one.
Let the five die.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then Simon. Yeah, you're right. They're the first to let the five die.
Who'd have thought that? Who'd have thought that from the wholesome podcast? Wow.
Oh, but Kirsty first chose to bystand.
I just
chose to bystand her bystanding.
Wow.
If we weren't there, it wouldn't have been any different.
This is true.
Exactly.
Great. Well, I mean, you know, this is uncharted territory for us, Sam. Who knows how many more people are going to die at their hands?
Well, no, it's not at our hands. That's the point.
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah,
if anything, we're zero and everyone else has got one on their hands.
Exactly.
So with that, let's turn up the heat a little bit, and I'll just remind everyone, it's a comedy. So today, in our little story for you two, you'll be in A&E. A young man has come in from a car accident and urgently needs a heart transplant. There is only one heart in the hospital. This heart is scheduled to be given to an elderly man waiting upstairs. He will surely die without it. Who should get the heart?
Well, I used to work in a hospital and they would triage. So I guess it would come down to... I mean, I say I worked in a hospital. I worked on Holby City.
Are you fictional? Are you a fictional character?
Sometimes I think she is.
It's still technically a hospital. And we did heart transplants all the time. And we would have this storyline. Every like eight episodes, there'd be a heart transplant that would come in. And you would get these problems. And yeah, I assumed it would be triage. So if someone was immediately about to die, I guess it would be they would get it, but...
Well, I guess for the sake of the question, they're both immediately about to die.
Oh, geez, what would my Holby training tell me to do?
Surely it would leave it a cliffhanger, wouldn't it?
It would,
yeah.
Like this.
What would they have been saying in the writer's room?
But the elderly person was there first as well.
Yeah, so the elderly person was there.
They'd probably give it to the younger person first, I imagine.
Does the elderly person know that they're going to get it?
Yes. So arguably, this belongs to the elderly person. It's on its way because they're going to have surgery. It's on its way to them.
But oh my gosh. Was the elderly person the person lying on the tracks on their own? And we could have just solved both of these problems with one one switch.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
It's all connected. God, it's a hard one.
When you say elderly, how elderly are we talking?
We're talking old.
I say give it to the young person because they've had a good chance at life. They've got this far. We were talking about this last night because Alex was saying the other day that when he gets to like 80, he's just going to start doing all the drugs under the sun and just, you know, why not?
Well,
So I figure they've had a good innings at this rate. And
well, let's hope he doesn't need a heart transplant if you're involved, eh?
That Holby City training will come in handy.
He's laid out a good run. Just don't worry about him.
I know what doing to say. We always used to be like, tachycardic, E's and C's and G. I can't remember anything they said, but they always shouted the same thing.
Honestly, I'd probably say the same.
To the younger guy?
To the younger guy, yeah.
Yeah.
What if you found out the car accident was his fault?
I mean...
Take it back out.
I think it's like because everyone does stupid stuff when they're young. I don't think one car accident would be. Unless, oh my gosh, was it the car accident that knocked the trolley that killed the five people?
She's seen the end of the game, Sam. The most contrived plot line ever.
When I was doing my research, I watched too many soaps. I should have just stayed on the books.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
That was always my favourite thing about working on Holby was because it was the same hospital as Casualty, but Casualty is obviously the emergency department. So you'd get these things on Holby that were like, "Oh no, this is happening," but not too urgently because then it would be a different show. It's sort of bad-ish.
I thought the best word in that sentence was obviously. Because no, obviously Holby is the hospital that's next to the A&E. Obviously. We all know that. I don't know
what... Exactly.
Casualty is the casualty department of Holby City. It's all one big world.
Right.
That I live in.
You need to let it go.
Marvel, eat your heart out. This was the first universe.
Exactly. Holby Cinematic Universe. But no, if he did cause it, I think still, like Bryony said, like people do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, unless he like...
I mean, I've well, no, I'm not going back to a car accident, but...
So you're going to let the old man die? That's the takeaway here, that you've let an old man meet his maker.
Yeah, he had a good run.
I'm sure he'll be thinking that as the trolley... trundles up towards him with the heart on it and then just goes straight past. I've had a good run.
Can we ask the old man, say, oh, someone else has just come in. They really need this, you know. Would you be all right if you just died?
Well, because then you're like the person who always says like, oh, do you want this last biscuit? Knowing full well that if they ever took it, you would hate them for the rest of your life. You'd be
so upset. Do you want this last heart?
Yeah, if no one else wants it. Yeah.
You have it.
Oh, dear. Yeah, okay. I think the younger guy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So now we've got a total of six dead, five people, good. And an old man. So we'll see if your soap opera skills can help you with this next one. So, on the ward, a patient has begged to be euthanized. Euthanasia is currently illegal. You would have to be the one who gives the lethal dose. You'll need to look them in their eyes as you end their life. What do you do?
Wait, what is my job in this instance? Am I just...
you don't work there, you're just there.
You're a producer, just on the show floor.
We're a doctor, presumably.
Yeah, so you're a doctor and a patient is begging to be euthanized. You obviously have the drugs and the apparatus and whatever's needed to do that.
Just a pillow.
Oh my God!
Would you do it and how? Have a bit of fun with it, Bryony.
The whole sort of streamer
would wrap them down to a trolley track and I would just let Ravs do the rest.
The funny thing is as well with this is in the question I mentioned a lethal dose and you guys are just like, no, pillow.
Just get a pillow, yeah.
Just cut the power.
I would say no.
I would say no, definitely.
Because you would have your, like, your ability to help this one person is overridden by your ability to help however many people you would for the rest of your career. And you can't do that if you're struck off because you've broken the law with that patient. So
Not only that, but they might have a change of heart. Like, not literally. There's only one.
No,
heart.
We've already given that to the other guy.
But he might have a change of heart later down the line. He might not be in his right mind. Like, you don't know. He might have, what if he has, like, had a head injury or something and he's like, oh, end my life. You don't know. And I think just no. Especially if it's illegal. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay, so he, you're going to let him live in pain, but yeah. his family will still be happy. I guess his family can still send flowers and never show up, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's the thought that counts.
So are you happy with those answers, Simon?
I mean, like, yeah, it is interesting how there are people that aren't asking to be killed and they are quite happily killing them. And then there's somebody who wants to and they're not.
Please, I've got this problem and all five of my remaining family were just on a trolley this morning. They're my granddad who was in hospital for a heart transplant and taken away at the last second.
See, the difference here is that we would actively be killing them and we're not about that.
Yeah,
we just like to stand by and watch it happen.
Yeah. If you put your hands up in the air, you can't use the syringe or the pillow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got our final question here. So now let's imagine that you're now running this hospital. You're a bit more than a doctor.
I mean, we've been doing so well so far, so it's not.
Yeah, we must have got
amazing.
Promoted.
We got promoted.
Yeah, people are really happy that you didn't kill that man. So it's now your decision. Do you start a mandatory vaccination program among children to stop an endemic? Now, this endemic amongst children makes them severely ill, but we have a vaccine. The only issue is clinical trial data suggests that the vaccine will make 1 in 5 children even worse. Much worse than the virus itself.
Evil.
So, do you start the vaccine? Do you start the mandatory vaccine?
No.
No, not mandatory. I think 1 in 5 is way too high.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole lot of kids. So, like, I think it would be voluntary, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is based on a real-world problem, because people always think that it's sort of linked to COVID. But there's a real-world problem called the dengue vaccine, and it literally is this. So there's a virus for this dengue... there's a cure for the dengue virus, but the only problem is that it can hurt 1 in 5 people. And then it's like, well, can we use it or not?
Yeah.
So then the argument would be those 4 out of 5 people are going to be worse off. But I think we're quite clearly saying no to this one.
Yeah, I feel like you would hold off until you've got some sort of better clinical trials going on or something, because the vaccinations are always going to be improving. So, yeah, I think you would hold off.
Okay.
And I think even so, I wouldn't want to do anything mandatory. I think you should have the choice.
How do you feel about that, Simon?
Well, tell me more about this dengue virus.
You put me on the spot here. So the
you're the one insisting that we all get vaccinated against it. I'd like to know a little more.
Okay, so... the dengue virus is facing governments in regions of South Asia and Latin America, where dengue virus is endemic. According to WHO, it results in about 3.2 million severe cases per year, and that's around 9,000 deaths. So it's you know, a very serious topic for our very silly game. But it's more, it's
there was a cliffhanger. 9,000 watts.
Oh,
who knows?
9,000 deaths. 9,000 deaths.
He should have been vaccinated.
What have we done, Kirsty? What have we done?
But yeah, so obviously the reason that we bring it up is it has a lot of ties with the trolley problem because of the 1 in 5 nature of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree. Mandatory feels wrong, despite the fact that statistically it's the right thing to do.
But yeah, so I think then to wrap up, the trolley problem, we had the 5 die, which was the first time ever. For the A&E problem, you let the young person live by giving them the heart. For euthanasia, you definitely pillowed a man. And then for
we let them live.
Oh no, you let him live. Oh, sorry. Okay. And then finally, you decided not to vaccinate for the effectively dengue disease. Yeah.
Congratulations, that's a good day's work, isn't it? Are you happy with that?
It's been quite a day, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. Got lots done.
We're now head of a hospital, you know, we've got quite a promotion now.
Well, congratulations. It'll be interesting to see how many other people agree with you.
yeah.
So the game opens with the trolley problem, and after each question, it will show how the rest of the world voted.
Okay.
I suspect the trolley problem one will. That outlier, that one, will be you. So you are at least notable. Thank you both for joining. That was lots of fun. Thanks for bearing with us. We're sorry to have put you through such awful situations, but that's the point of the game.
Exactly.
Oh, that's okay. I was going to say it's been fun, but that sounds like the wrong word.
It's been fun for you, just not your patience. Yeah. Where can we follow your work on the internet?
So I'm at twitch.tv/BrianyK.
Yep.
And Kirsty is.
I am at twitch.tv/Kirsty, KIRSTY.
Oh, I didn't spell mine.
No, you didn't.
You just have
Everyone's going
to
gonna spell it with two Y's now.
Oh, no. Even my own dad the other day, I said about a code he could use, and I said Brianny K, and he was like, "Is that K the letter or the full name?" And I was like, "You named me, father. You should know that's the full name."
Oh,
excellent.
Gosh.
Well, listen, thanks once again for joining us. We'll be sure to follow you on Twitch. Thanks again, Sam, for that interesting episode.
Yeah.
One that will be recorded in the annals of history.
Yeah, no, I think it went really well. I'm really happy we had the doctor questions for the experts.
Brilliant. All right, exactly. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. We will catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.